Welcome to Vox English. Clara is a mechanic at a local bicycle shop, and Evan has brought in a bicycle that failed during his morning ride. Before Clara can inspect it or estimate the repair time, she needs a precise account of what happened and what Evan did beforehand. Listen for the way she moves him from a short description to an ordered account of the whole story. Let's get started.
You wrote, "Chain slipped on first hill." Before I put the bike on the stand, tell me exactly what happened, including anything you adjusted before the ride. If I start with the wrong cause, you pay for time you didn't need.
Adjusted sounds more deliberate than it was. I cleaned it, listened to it, and made one small change near the handlebar.
That's where people put adjustments when they don't want them in the first sentence. Start last night.
I'd washed the bike after work. The rear gears were clicking, so I turned the barrel adjuster a few times, six perhaps, but they were restrained clicks.
Did you test it after that?
I lifted the back wheel and turned the pedals. The chain moved through the gears. I shifted twice in each direction and heard nothing dramatic. This morning, the bike felt fine on flat ground. I was changing down for Maple Hill when the chain skipped and the pedals lurched.
And then?
I stopped, shifted back to a middle gear, and rode slowly. It skipped again while I was crossing the park, so I walked the last block. Sensible ending.
Sensible after the fact. Before you turned the adjuster, had the chain ever come off?
No, it had only been clicking under pressure. I assumed the cable had stretched, and the adjuster seemed like the obvious place to correct it.
Six clicks can move the indexing a long way. You changed the cable tension, so I need to reset the gears and check whether the chain or cassette is worn.
Good. How long? I'm not rushing you. I'm simply asking with a deadline nearby.
What deadline?
I'm leading the cycling club's beginner maintenance ride at 6. I'd agreed to it last month, and yesterday I posted that people should bring any simple problem they wanted explained.
Then we'll repair the bicycle first. At 6, begin with tire pressure and let this particular problem remain an advanced private seminar. The group can survive one evening without cable tension.
Clara begins with Evan's written description, "Chain slipped on first hill." It identifies the visible failure, but it does not give her a usable order of events. Before she puts the bicycle on the stand, she asks what happened and includes anything he adjusted before the ride. That last part matters because a current fault may have an earlier cause. Clara also explains the practical consequence. If she begins with the wrong cause, Evan may pay for inspection time he did not need. Her question is reusable. Whenever a technician, pharmacist, hotel employee, or support worker needs a complete history, tell me exactly what happened, including anything you changed beforehand. It asks for facts without accusing the customer of causing the problem. Clara's short sequence establishes her role. She controls the next action, but she needs Evan's information to choose it safely and efficiently. That distinction is the first chronological task. The reported failure is the endpoint, not necessarily the beginning of the cause. Evan immediately revises Clara's verb. Adjusted sounds more deliberate than it was. He does not deny touching anything. Instead, he objects to a word that makes the action sound intentional and technically important. His replacement is one small change near the handlebar. The location remains vague, and small describes his view of the action rather than its effect. This is a common self-protective move in practical conversation. Someone may prefer, I moved it to, I changed the setting, or I had a look to, I opened the case. Clara does not debate his intention. Her next turn shows that the action belongs in the history, whether it was expert, casual, or experimental. His wording makes his motive clear. He wants to cooperate without presenting himself as the cause before the sequence has been examined. A sequence question separates responsibility from diagnosis. First establish what changed, then decide what it caused. Clara answers, "That's where people put adjustments when they don't want them in the first sentence. Start last night." She hears that cleaned it and one small change are hiding the useful order. Her new time point supports Evan's opening, "I'd washed the bike after work." "I'd" means "I had," followed by the past participle, "washed." The past perfect reaches back to an action completed before the later adjustment and morning ride. It is supported here because Clara explicitly asks for the earlier starting point. Evan then uses two forms inside that earlier layer. "The rear gears were clicking, so I turned the barrel adjuster." "Were clicking" keeps the background symptom in view, the same was or were plus ing pattern that returns on the road, while turned advances to his response in the past simple. He does not need "I had turned" for every step. A single past perfect opening can establish an earlier layer. Ordinary past forms can then carry the events inside that layer in their natural order. In speech, the contracted form is common. But the surrounding time relation, not the contraction itself, creates the earlier viewpoint. Evan first says he turned the control a few times, then corrects that estimate to 6, perhaps. The second phrase is more informative, although "perhaps" leaves him a little room. "Restrained clicks" gives the movement a controlled, modest character. "Restrained" normally describes something kept within limits, so Evan is presenting 6 turns as evidence of care rather than scale. Clara's later response will measure the effect, not the elegance of each click. This exchange shows why vague quantity can matter in a service conversation. A few may be sufficient when the number has no consequence, but a worker may need the count when each repetition changes a setting, a charge, or a result. Evan's self-correction also keeps him capable rather than helpless. He remembers what he did, understands why the question matters, and supplies the number once Clara has made precision unavoidable. The same distinction applies to settings, doses, attempts, and charges whenever each small action has a cumulative effect. When Clara asks whether he tested the bicycle, Evan gives a chain of completed actions. "I lifted the back wheel and turned the pedals." "The chain moved through the gears." "I shifted twice in each direction and heard nothing dramatic." These past simple forms move the account forward one step at a time. Lifted, turned, moved, shifted, and heard all belong to the test he performed after the adjustment. The order of the sentences supplies the order of the actions. Repeating the past perfect, "I had lifted, had turned, had shifted," would keep pointing backward, even though the earlier time is already secure. "Nothing dramatic" is another softened label. It tells Clara that Evan noticed no obvious failure during the test, but it does not prove that the setting was correct under real riding conditions. The test and the road place different demands on the same system, which is why the morning sequence still matters. The phrase after that in Clara's question also confirms that the test followed the adjustment rather than preceding it. The central contrast arrives in one sentence. "I was changing down for Maple Hill when the chain skipped and the pedals lurched." Changing down means shifting to a lower, easier gear before a climb. Was changing is the past continuous, was plus the ing form. It presents the activity already in progress as Evan approached the hill. Skipped and lurched are past simple because they name short completed events that occurred during that activity and changed what happened next. The word when helps connect the two viewpoints, but it does not choose the tense by itself. Compare, I was entering the building when the door locked, with I entered the building when the rain started. Meaning decides which action is background and which moves the event forward. A common mistake would be, the chain was suddenly skipping, merely because both actions overlapped. That form could describe repeated skipping as a temporary background condition, but Evan is identifying the first decisive skip. Its result is immediate. The pedals lurched, and he had to respond. With while, the same relation could be expressed as the chain skipped while I was changing down, keeping the short event in past simple. Clara's and then? Asks Evan to continue from the failure rather than return to last night. He answers with another past simple sequence. I stopped, shifted back to a middle gear, and rode slowly. It skipped again while I was crossing the park, so I walked the last block. Stopped, shifted, rode, skipped, and walked record completed responses and consequences. Was crossing supplies the activity in progress around the second skip, just as was changing did around the first one. The useful counter pattern is direct. State the fault, say what you were doing when it appeared, and then list what you did next. At a counter, it failed while I was using it, so I stopped and brought it here, gives a worker a compact, useful sequence. I had stopped, had shifted, and had walked would be unnecessarily remote because nothing later requires those actions to be viewed from another past point. Evan calls walking sensible ending. Clara's correction, sensible after the fact, accepts the safe response while refusing to let it improve the earlier decision. Clara now asks about the condition before Evan touched the adjuster. Had the chain ever come off? The past perfect is appropriate because she is looking behind the adjustment, which is already in the past. Evan answers, no. It had only been clicking under pressure. Had been clicking adds been and an ing form because the symptom was ongoing, but it does the same timeline job. It reaches back before the adjustment. That earlier symptom changes the diagnosis. Complete separation had not occurred, and the clicking existed before his intervention. Only limits the symptom in Evan's account, while under pressure identifies the condition in which it appeared. Here the pressure is mechanical load, not emotional strain. The sequence is now visible without a diagram. The bicycle had been clicking. Evan turned the adjuster. His raised wheel test seemed normal, and the chain later skipped while he was changing down on the road. These backward-looking forms are doing a precise job. They reach back to information that Clara needs to compare with the later failure, then allow the account to return to its main past timeline. Before and after make relations visible. But the verb form still shows which past point the speaker is viewing. Admissions planning for a sold-out public lecture also operates under pressure when demand is greater than the available capacity. The pressure may come from a closing time, a limited number of seats, incomplete reservation data, or several requests arriving at once. In that context, under pressure describes the demanding conditions surrounding the work. It does not automatically mean that the process is failing or that anyone is behaving badly. A registration system can remain accurate under pressure, and an admissions desk can make slower checks because the consequences of a mistake are higher. The expression is useful because it names the force of the circumstances without pretending that urgency removes normal standards. The admissions process was under pressure identifies a difficult operating condition. It does not identify who created it or what decision should follow. Several related constructions assign that force differently. Work under pressure describes performance in demanding conditions. A booking system must work under pressure when many requests reach it together. Put pressure on names the target receiving extra strain. Duplicate requests put pressure on the verification process, while a short deadline puts pressure on available staff time. A person can also pressure someone into a rushed choice. That construction is stronger because it gives an agent responsibility for trying to produce an action. A warning banner pressured users into accepting the first available time. In careful professional language, encourage or ask may be more accurate when the choice remains genuinely free. Pressure into suggests that urgency or influence narrowed the person's freedom. The verb, therefore, carries a more critical judgment than the neutral condition under pressure. The three patterns separate condition, effect, and agency. Under pressure presents the surrounding demand. Put pressure on shows where that demand creates strain. Pressure someone into identifies an attempt to force or strongly influence a choice. A capacity limit can put pressure on the timing of admissions without pressuring any individual into accepting an unsuitable arrangement. Likewise, an operation may be under pressure and still protect accurate records, accessible seating, and fair entry rules. Choosing the construction carefully prevents a difficult situation from being confused with coercive behavior. Physical systems add another established meaning. Air, liquid, or a loaded component can be under pressure because force is acting through it. But today we're talking about a bicycle under mechanical pressure, not admissions for a public lecture. Back to Clara and Evan. Evan continues from the earlier clicking. I assumed the cable had stretched, and the adjuster seemed like the obvious place to correct it. An assumption is a conclusion accepted before it has been fully checked. Seemed makes the same limit visible. The control looked appropriate from Evan's perspective, but he did not yet know the cause. Clara answers with a consequence, rather than a lecture. Six clicks can move the indexing a long way, and he changed the cable tension. She therefore needs to reset the positions and check for wear in the chain or cassette. The mechanical terms explain why his small change cannot be separated from the diagnosis. This is another useful service pattern. A customer can say, "I assumed that setting controlled the problem, so I changed it." The worker then knows both what happened and why the original condition may now be harder to observe. What seems obvious is therefore evidence about Evan's reasoning, not evidence that his diagnosis was right. Once Clara states what she must inspect, Evan asks, "How long?" He immediately adds, "I'm not rushing you. I'm simply asking with a deadline nearby." The deadline is not literally moving closer through space. Nearby lets Evan present urgency as a surrounding fact rather than a demand he is placing on Clara. The wording protects his image as a reasonable customer, but it still requests a completion estimate before she has examined the bicycle. Clara responds with the shortest useful question, "What deadline?" She does not accept the vague pressure or promise a time. In a practical exchange, naming the real deadline allows both people to distinguish a safety requirement from convenience, embarrassment, or preference. A direct time or purpose is easier to evaluate than a carefully softened sense of urgency. Evan's longer qualification and Clara's compressed question make their different priorities explicit. Evan finally supplies the missing stake. He is leading the cycling club's beginner maintenance ride at 6. I'm leading presents a scheduled responsibility, not merely his hope to attend. The admission changes the meaning of his earlier restraint. He needs the bicycle for a public activity in which other riders expect him to demonstrate practical competence. He adds, "I'd agreed to it last month," using the past perfect to locate an earlier commitment before today's repair problem. That form is accurate but incidental. The main chronological work has already been done by the wash, adjustment, road failure, and response sequence. Yesterday, he also posted that people should bring simple problems they wanted explained. The earlier agreement explains responsibility. Yesterday's post explains why changing the plan now would be socially visible. The information makes his deadline concrete and gives Clara a fair basis for deciding what she can promise. It also exposes why one small change and restrained clicks mattered so much to him. The repair threatens a role he has already announced publicly. Clara separates Evan's two needs. "Then we'll repair the bicycle first," commits to the professional task without pretending that his account has already settled the diagnosis. For the evening activity, she gives him a narrower boundary. "Begin with tire pressure and keep this particular problem as an advanced private seminar." A seminar is normally a focused meeting for discussion or study. Clara uses the formal phrase to classify his failed adjustment as material that should remain private for now. Her final sentence, "The group can survive one evening without cable tension," protects the beginners from uncertain advice while allowing Evan to keep his responsibility and recover some credibility. Clara has used the ordered history to choose both a repair path and a safe public limit. Evan's details were evasive at first, but they became useful once dates, quantities, background activity, and completed events occupied their correct places. Her decision is concrete enough to survive, even if every dry phrase is spoken plainly. Now, let's listen to the dialogue again, this time at natural speed.
You wrote, "Chain slipped on first hill. Before I put the bike on the stand, tell me exactly what happened, including anything you adjusted before the ride. If I start with the wrong cause, you pay for time you didn't need."
"Adjusted sounds more deliberate than it was. I cleaned it, listened to it, and made one small change near the handlebar."
"That's where people put adjustments when they don't want them in the first sentence. Start last night."
"I'd washed the bike after work. The rear gears were clicking, so I turned the barrel adjuster a few times, 6 perhaps, but they were restrained clicks."
"Did you test it after that?"
"I lifted the back wheel and turned the pedals. The chain moved through the gears. I shifted twice in each direction and heard nothing dramatic. This morning, the bike felt fine on flat ground. I was changing down for Maple Hill when the chain skipped and the pedals lurched."
"And then?"
"I stopped, shifted back to a middle gear, and rode slowly. It skipped again while I was crossing the park, so I walked the last block. Sensible ending."
"Sensible after the fact. Before you turned the adjuster, had the chain ever come off?"
"No, it had only been clicking under pressure. I assumed the cable had stretched, and the adjuster seemed like the obvious place to correct it."
"6 clicks can move the indexing a long way. You changed the cable tension, so I need to reset the gears and check whether the chain or cassette is worn."
"Good. How long? I'm not rushing you. I'm simply asking with a deadline nearby."
"What deadline?"
"I'm leading the cycling club's beginner maintenance ride at 6. I'd agreed to it last month, and yesterday I posted that people should bring any simple problem they wanted explained."
"Then we'll repair the bicycle first. At 6, begin with tire pressure and let this particular problem remain an advanced private seminar. The group can survive one evening without cable tension.
Clara turned Evan's short fault report into an ordered account of earlier conditions, ongoing activity, completed events, and practical consequences. That sequence gave her the information needed to inspect the bicycle safely and set a realistic boundary for the evening. Evan still has a route to keep his commitment, but his public demonstration is now narrower than he expected. A precise order of events protected both the repair and the beginners. Thanks for listening to Vox English. See you next time.